All right, you guys ready for the Word of God? So last week, we were just looking at and trying to see if we could understand some of the things that Peter was sharing with us from his first letter. And we saw and we learned that by allowing the Word to explain the Word, we could then use what Peter had said, his reference about the days of Noah. And so we could use that reference and the things that he said about that. We could use that to better understand exactly what he meant when he told us that Jesus had preached to the spirits in prison. And we also got revelation on what that meant to us, why it's relevant to us yet today. We learned that Noah, because he walked wholeheartedly with God, God separated Noah and his family from the world, and he watched over them, and he safeguarded them in the ark. And we know that in all the days that followed, the days following Noah, in Sheol, the place of the dead, we know that God also separated, watched over, and safeguarded those who had walked with God in their lives and trusted in him. And God watched over them and safeguarded them until the day of Jesus' victory, when Jesus went and he set those who were held captive by sin, set them free, and in his victory led them in triumphal entry into eternity with him. And we also saw and know that today, as we walk wholeheartedly with God, as we walk in that whole heart devotion to him, he sets us aside from the world. And he watches over us. And he safeguards us, even though we are serving him in this wicked generation. He still safeguards us and watches over us. Now, in the days of Noah, we know that God is the one who shut that door on the ark. We saw last week, it was his hand that shut the door so he could keep them safe in the ark. And then God opened up the door to the ark, and that's when we see that he sealed his covenant promises to Noah and to all flesh with that rainbow. Now today, God has closed the door of his protection around us. But as he's done that, he's also opened up the door into the throne room of God, where we can see that same rainbow, but that rainbow is now surrounding his throne. And we saw that in Revelation chapter 4. So we can walk in all the covenant promises that he has for us in this life. And we need to be walking in those covenant promises. Now today what I want to do is build on those things we looked at last week. But I want to do that by looking at one particular part of the account of Noah that is, for the most part, overlooked. Now we know that when the flood waters began to recede, we know the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. But what's the next thing that happened? Most of us, our mind jumps right to that picture of Noah opening up the window of the ark and sending the dove out. But while Noah did send out a dove, what's often overlooked is the fact that he also sent out a raven. And we never think about this. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out for himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. So the raven and the dove, these are two totally opposites. They're opposite in everything, as we're going to see this morning. So what is the significance? What's the purpose and the significance of sending out these two very different birds as the first creatures to leave the ark? Well, to understand that, we really have to get a better understanding and realization of the very unique differences between the raven and the dove. So let's start first by looking at the raven. So the raven, especially the raven that is in the Middle East region, the raven of the Middle East, this is a type of crow, but it's larger than the crows that we have here in this country and in the United States today. It's like a crow, and if you think about a crow, this is what a raven is. A raven is jet black. But what's interesting about a raven is, a raven has some iridescent colors in its feathers. It's very mild, it's very subtle, but it has very iridescent colors. It's almost as though the raven is attempting to imitate, mimic, even mock the beautiful rainbow that represents the covenant promises that God gave to us. Now, the raven is a scavenger. So the raven is drawn to death. The raven feeds off of carrion. It's just a vile, disgusting creature. But the raven is also known to be highly intelligent. Not just for a bird, it is just highly intelligent. And the raven is very crafty about getting the things that it wants. A raven, according to Levitical standards, is an unclean bird. The raven is greedy. The raven is selfish. The raven in nature is known to abandon its young and to leave its young to fend for themselves while it goes off and just satiates itself. This is why in the book of Job, we read this about the raven. Job 38, verse number 41. Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? That is the nature of the raven. Now let's look at the dove. The dove, again, is the exact opposite. I want you to see this picture of the dove because the dove is a beautiful, pure white. The dove is like light in darkness. The dove is not drawn to death at all. In fact, the dove feeds mostly on grains and on berries. And the dove is also, according to Levitical standards, a clean bird. It is Levitically clean. So the dove could and was used as a sacrifice offering for people, for individuals. In fact, if you think about it, Joseph and Mary, when they presented the newborn Jesus Christ, they presented him at the temple as the law prescribed, they made a sacrifice offering to God of two doves. Now what we read is, it says two turtle doves, but here's exactly what it says. And an offered sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. If you look at this, this is really, the turtle doves is just talking about the noise that it makes. And the dove, where it says pigeon, this is actually speaking about the white, pure dove that we think about. And we also know that the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And this is revealed to us, of course, when Jesus comes up out of his waters of baptism. Familiar, but just so we have it all in place with the Word of God, Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So now let's go back to the raven for a second. You can see the opposites, how they are just opposite beings. But if we go back to the raven, there's one time that we do see the raven can be used for good. We do know that in the life of Elijah the prophet, if you remember, there is a time that God uses ravens to provide for the prophet Elijah. It's ravens that bring bread and meat to the prophet twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, after Elijah, in obedience to God, speaks a drought upon the land, and there is a drought and a famine that takes place. So God can use ravens, but generally, ravens are associated with darkness, with death, and with evil. Even think about this. Think about the very words that Genesis uses to describe the movements of the raven when the raven departs from Noah's Ark. This is Genesis chapter 8, verse number 7. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He sent out a raven. The movements are going to and fro until the waters dried up. That should sound familiar to us. That should sound familiar because these very same words are used by the Bible to describe another being who is cunning, who is greedy, and who is associated with death, darkness, and evil. This is what it says in Job chapter 2. Y'all know who we're talking about. Job chapter 2, it says, And the Lord said to Satan, From where did you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. So the raven and the dove, they are complete opposites in all things. And what's really even cool is even the sounds that the raven makes and the dove makes are different. When you think about a dove, we're all familiar with the sounds of a dove. You know, the doves have that gentle cooing. It's very calming. It's very relaxing. There's a tenderness that is in the sound of the dove. The raven is anything but that. The raven is loud. It's caustic. It is irritating and grating. And, listen, the raven, in the same way that the raven has that iridescent sheen to its feathers, kind of mimicking and in a certain way mocking the rainbow, the promises of God, in the same way, the raven's very voice laughs and mocks. Listen to this. This is the sound of what the raven makes. That's the raven. The raven, it's like it is mocking and laughing at you as a child of God. It's like Satan is mocking and laughing you at you, but we know who we are in Jesus Christ. And Satan only mocks and laughs because he knows what his end is as well. But it really just shows us the true opposites that we see. And so it's significant that on that day that the floodwaters began to recede, that Noah sent out both the raven and the dove, the two different, the two total opposites. So, the raven was sent out of the ark by Noah, but we also know, of course, that the dove was sent out of the ark by Noah. The Bible tells us because the dove found no place to land, the dove returned back to the ark and went back inside the ark again. So this is what it says. I want you to have the background on this. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 9. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. The Bible is making sure that you and I get a clear picture of this. The Bible wants to make sure that we understand that the dove returns to the ark and that it is Noah himself that personally puts his hand out and brings her into the ark. This did not happen with the raven. Now remember, the floodwaters are still covering the face of the earth. The dove found no place to land. Guess what? The raven found no place to land either. And the raven could not continue to just fly forever. So the raven returns to the ark, but only for the purpose of resting upon the ark. And we know that by the very description that was given. That phrase, to and fro, it means to go from and to return back to. So this is a picture of what the raven does. The raven left, came back, the dove came back in, the raven was not allowed back in. The raven just rested on the ark. The raven was not allowed inside the ark. This is a spiritual picture. All of this is a spiritual picture of you and I today. It's a spiritual picture of us. Because once we are cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, these vessels are now the righteousness of Jesus. So Satan comes and goes, but Satan is not allowed in here. And there's something else. The raven represents death, and the raven rested upon the ark, but the raven did not enter in. Death rests on these bodies. In other words, these bodies are going to perish. But death will not come to these souls and these spirits, because the raven returned, but the raven did not enter in. But the dove did return, and the dove did enter in, showing us and reminding us that the Holy Spirit of God has entered into us, and we have eternal life in Jesus. We have His strength, victory, deliverance today, and we have eternal life in Jesus. This is why it's so important for us to see the difference and why the raven and the dove were both sent out. And how powerful a statement that it is that the raven and the dove were both sent out. And that the raven himself could not enter in, but the dove not only entered in, but was welcomed in. As we need to welcome in the Holy Spirit every day. Every day we need to have a fresh anointing in the Holy Spirit. He's always in us, but invite him in us with newness and freshness every single day. Now the ancients, they viewed the raven and the dove as being symbols of evil and good. Philo of Alexandria was a first century Jewish philosopher. He said that the raven represents vice and the dove represents virtue. Now remember, the raven could not return. The raven was not allowed to return back into the ark. But you know what? The raven was perfectly content with that. The raven is perfectly at home and perfectly in its element in the destroyed world. feeding off of death and off of destruction. The raven was content being in the destroyed world. But you and I, we have the dove. We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us. So guess what? We are not comfortable in the world. We're not comfortable with the things of the world. All of the things that are attractive to ravens, death, deception, lies, darkness, all of those things make us uncomfortable. They discomfort us. Even though we dwell in this world, surrounded by all the vices that attract ravens, we need to make sure that we are always separating ourselves from the world and the things of the world. John said this, 1 John chapter 2, 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We need to make sure that in the same way we separate ourselves from the world, in the same way that when we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ, God separated you from the world, and he watches and safeguards you. Let's make sure that we keep ourselves away from the world and the things of the world as well. You know, just up the road, where there used to be the Max and Irma's. So it's now a place called Agave and Rye. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this when they were building this, but for like 2 years since this was closed, Don and I were, something good's going to come in here. We're looking forward to it because we're here all the time. And then here's the first thing we saw. They painted the entire building black. They covered up all the windows. And when they first did this, they actually painted on the windows. There was no light coming in the windows because they were painted black. And they had paintings of skulls on the windows. Now listen, I'm not afraid to go in there. I'm not afraid of those things. But I understand that those things, you know, skulls represent death. Skulls represent the things of the world. I can go in there. But I wouldn't be comfortable in there. If somebody had said, "Hey, do you want to go to Agave and Rye, and that's where they're going to meet?" I would go there. I wouldn't necessarily be comfortable there. It would not be my first choice. I'm not afraid of it, but there's a discomfort that is there. Now, when they were building that place, Don and I go to Biagi's all the time. And there was one time we were walking, I can't remember if it was from our car or back to our car, but we kept commenting on those skulls, and we were just tired of it. We just said, "In Jesus' name, whatever evil is there departs from that place." That's all we said. Now, listen, I'm not saying this because of us. I'm sure other people are praying too. But go drive by there now. Guess what you don't see? Yeah, all those skulls are down. Now, I think there might be some inside, but all those skulls on the outside are down. This is the point that I'm trying to make. We're not to be afraid of these things, but we have the authority of Jesus Christ. Because those things represent the raven, but we represent the dove, the Holy Spirit, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And Donna and I just have a sense of ownership about this place, because this is where God has placed this ministry. So this whole Levis Commons, we feel a sense of ownership, spiritual ownership, and responsibility over it. So we spoke those things because we are not comfortable with the things of the world. It doesn't mean it reigns over us, but it discomforts us, and so we took action against it. This is the exact same thing when you think about in the book of Luke. When the Gospel of Luke is speaking about the demoniac at the Gadarenes. If you remember, so this is a man who is filled with demons. This is the thing. If we have our hearts on the world, and the world focuses on death, the world identifies with death. The world is drawn to those things. Notice the demoniac. The Bible makes it clear. Luke makes it clear. He did not live in a house. Where did he live? He lived in the tombs. He lived amongst the tombs, because the more that we are akin to, or the more that we are making ourselves, adapting ourselves to the world, the more attractive the things of the world become to us. And then we give ourselves over to those things of the world, and that's where it becomes a danger. So I say all this to say, again, just remember this. The raven represents all the world, all the destruction, the darkness, and the death. But that's okay. You have the dove. You have the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in you. So when you see those things, when you sense being uncomfortable, just tell yourself, "Look, I'm not afraid of this, but I'm uncomfortable, and so I'm going to take some action, and I'm going to bring the light of Jesus into this place." Bring the light of Jesus. This is what our responsibility is as believers in Jesus Christ. So the raven is also known in nature. The raven is known for attacking the eyes of its prey, because the raven is trying to blind its prey. The spirit of the raven is out there today going to and fro. And he is bringing all kinds of lies, all kinds of deception, all kinds of discomfort, all kinds of evil into the world. In fact, the very spirit of the raven is blinding people that you and I know. And it's only going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But remember, we have the dove. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And remember, if you go back and you read through the story of Noah, remember, the second time that the dove returns to the ark, the dove brings back with it the olive branch. The olive branch represents peace. You and I, we are supposed to be bringing the peace of Jesus Christ into the world. We're supposed to be bringing the olive branch, the peace of Jesus Christ, into a very troubled world. There are two birds, there's two spirits, and there's two very different agendas. The raven is out there seeking his next victim. But you and I, we need to be out there seeking our next disciple. And understand this. This season that we're in, this season that we're in, and we know it's going to get a little bit worse, here's the legacy of this season that we're in and that you and I get to be a part of. Here's the legacy of this hard season. It is going to be a season of doves being sent into the world with the power of Jesus Christ to bring life, hope, and the peace of Jesus Christ into this very world. This is the role and the responsibility that we have. In this season, and in this trouble season, never forget this. The raven is no match for the dove. The raven might be out there blinding the world, and he's going to blind more in the months to come. But the raven is no match for the dove, for the Holy Spirit that is in you. Because darkness cannot dissipate light, but light will always come and chase darkness away. And so this is, again, part of the role that we see. This is why the Bible makes sure that we understand that on that moment when everything had been washed clean again, that when Noah opens up that window, it's both the raven and the dove that come out. We have the opportunity to be the ones that are those doves taking in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking the victory of Jesus Christ to the world. Taking the victory of Jesus Christ to the world. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Yes. So let me show you this by a biblical example. And I'm going to give you this Bible example, and then watch how this all ties together so nicely. The Word always builds upon and feeds through the Word. So if you remember, when the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites, God raised up Gideon to be the man to deliver his people. And Gideon took his 300 valiant men. And remember, it started with 32,000. Then it went down to 10,000. And from that 10,000, God said, no. I need fewer that I can work through so that no man gets the glory. And there's only 300 valiant men that went to defeat the Midianites, who the Israelites could never defeat. 300 men. I want to make sure that I don't want you to be the same thing. I want to be one of the 300 valiant men. I don't want to be part of the 10,000 or the rest of the 32,000 that are sitting on the sidelines and just watching. I want to be active, and I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing, and I want you to be a part of that as well. I want us to be part of the 300 valiant men. So this is what Gideon did. He took his 300 valiant men, and he took them right to the camp of the Midianites at dark. And Gideon put in the hand of every one of his men a trumpet, and in the other hand, he gave them a pitcher, and inside the pitcher was a lighted torch, and he gave them these instructions. This is Judges chapter 7, verse 18. When I blow the trumpet, loud noise, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. At Gideon's command, every single man blew the trumpet. And then every single man broke that pitcher and exposed that lighted torch. In the midst of the darkness, all of a sudden, 300 torches light out, sending forth the light. And the result of this on the opposing army was they fled in panic, not understanding what was happening. And in their panicked flight, in the confusion of that panic, they turn their swords on each other. I want to be one of the 300 that are being used. I want to be one of the valiant 300 so we can see those amazing things taking place. Every single one of us. Yes, yes, yes. Let that be me, Jesus. Let that be me. I want to be those. But now watch this. Watch what happens to the leaders of the Midianites. And then again, see how this all ties together. A little bit further in Judges. This is Judges chapter 7, verse number 6. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they killed at the winepress of Zeeb. They pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Guess what? The name Oreb, it means raven. So here is this Midianite leader who is opposing the people of God. Sound familiar? Here's this Midianite leader named the raven who's opposing the people of God. And Oreb the raven was defeated at the rock of Oreb. Listen, Satan may have a season, but he has already been defeated by the rock of Jesus. And now you and I, who are the small, the little rocks of Jesus, we are the ones who are to enforce his defeat in this culture day by day. Ready for more? 400 years, a little more than 400 years after that event took place in Judges. 400 plus years have gone by since Gideon defeated Oreb the raven at the rock of Oreb. 400 years go by, and the prophet Isaiah refers to this very event with Oreb the raven. And then Isaiah brings forth prophetic meaning to it for you and I today as well. Now, these verses I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 10. Understand, as you hear these verses, this is God speaking through his prophet Isaiah, and he is speaking words to the remnant, to those who remained faithful to God. There's always a remnant. We are the remnant. We are the ones who believe this word is true in its entirety. We are the remnant. So with that in mind, Isaiah chapter 10, verses 24, 25, and 26. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of the things happening in the world. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up a staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb, as his rod was on the sea, so will he lift it up in the manner of Egypt. We're the remnant today. We are the ones who are supposed to be walking wholeheartedly with God today and in the days that are to come. And listen, the world may strike at you and the world may strike at us with its rod, but Jesus is going to protect us. Jesus is there to safeguard us and watch over us. When the world strikes its rod at you, you can take your comfort in Jesus Christ and know that when the world strikes at you, God is going to do the same thing to the world that he did to Oreb the raven. He's going to turn all of those things around. He's going to turn about the plans and the intentions, just as he did with Oreb at that rock. And we'll look at that in just a second. I want you to see what that verse is in just a second. But understand this. The raven brought the darkness, and the raven is bringing today the darkness. And the raven is out there deceiving many people, even in the church today, deceiving many people. But you and I, we have the honor of being his doves sent into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's rush our light into the darkness and cast out. Send away the ravens. Rush your light into the darkness and scatter the ravens. Now, we know that we're the light of Jesus Christ, but let me go back to ravens and the way ravens are in the world. There's another way that we can chase away the ravens. There's a lot of ravens out there. Here's how you chase them away. If a farmer has, when ravens come, they often come in batches. And when farmers are trying to get rid of ravens, one of the most effective ways to do that is to make a loud noise. So here's how we chase the ravens today. Make sure that you are making a loud noise. Make sure that you are making loud praise, loud worship. Make sure that the ravens are hearing you strongly shout joy. Make sure that the ravens are hearing your strong words, speaking the word of God. And as we do so, we chase the ravens out of this field, out of this ministry field, out of this field of people, field of harvest that is waiting for us. This is why God was so specific in showing us the dove and the raven and the purpose of the dove and the raven and why it's important for us to know who we are and to act in the power and the authority that we have. Now, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And remember that when the dove was sent out from the ark, the dove was flying over all of those waters. It was the waters that the Bible, we read it, the waters that the Bible said were over the face of the entire world. Water over the face of the entire world. That sounds very much like the first time that we read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Because the first time we read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, we read that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters of creation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. At creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. Hovering there, in part, hovering indicates consecrating something. So when something is consecrated, what does that mean? We've gone over this before. It's like something being made sacred. When something is consecrated, it is set aside for God. Something that is consecrated is set aside for God, for His purposes, and for His glory. So at creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters of creation. The Holy Spirit was bringing forth the full potential and purpose of God's creation. It was consecrating this whole creation so that its purpose, God's purpose, and the full potential of God's purpose could be brought forth. Now, think about that raven. And again, the raven represents the Holy Spirit. When the raven was sent out in Noah's time, when the raven was sent out of the ark, and the raven is flying over those waters of the flood, those are the very waters that washed away all the filth of man's sin. That is a picture of the Holy Spirit once more bringing forth the full potential and purpose of this creation that God made, just as He had done at creation. And now, finally, you and I, we are washed in the waters of baptism. We are washed in the waters of Jesus Christ when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. So now we are to allow the Holy Spirit to stir within you the beautiful potential that is in the wonderful creation of you. Allow the Holy Spirit to stir the beautiful potential and the wonderful creation of you so that you and I can be used mightily and fully to the glory of Jesus Christ. Yes, somebody should receive that. So there's one other thing that we also learn from this prophecy of Isaiah following the defeat of Oreb at the rock. It is then, at that point, it's then that the yoke is broken over God's people by the anointing oil. Keep that in your mind. This is what the verse says, Isaiah 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder and His yoke from your neck. And the yoke was destroyed because of the anointing. This is just after talking about the things that took place with Oreb, the defeat of Oreb. It shall come to pass on that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. In the days of Noah, when that dove returned to the ark a second time, what did the dove bring? The dove brought back that olive branch. Olives are what are used to make the anointing oil. And olive oil is what God used throughout the Bible to anoint kings, to anoint priests. And the olive oil is what was used to light the light of the menorah. Now here's what we've seen multiple times this year and the year before. We've seen this. You and I, we are his kings and priests today. You and I have been anointed in the oil of the Holy Spirit. So we are to let our light shine onto this world. We're to bring our light into the world and thus help break the yoke that has been put on the backs of many people that you and I know so that they can be set free. We are a city on a hill. Our lights cannot be hid. We're to shine those lights like anointing oil. But also remember, how do you chase off ravens? We are to also shine your light, but also make sure that you are making a loud ruckus for Jesus Christ. Make sure that we are continually loud, giving loud praise, loud worship, not just here, but in your own life, in your car, in your home. Loud praise, loud worship, loudly speak out, shout the joy and the victory, and loudly shout out the word of God in every place that the word of God needs to be spoken. And here's what we do. We do that and we are chasing the ravens out of this mission field, out of this field of people that are waiting to come to know Jesus Christ. So, as we close this morning, let's chase some ravens. Let's make a loud noise. Stand up. Let's make a loud noise. Shout for Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. I need to shout for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus, in everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. As ravens are being chased and you move forward and you advance. Glory, glory, glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Let's remain standing as we give a loud praise and worship to conclude our service this morning.